cause, Lord, that favor that comes only through Him and by Him and in Him to be upon us. We ask because we are such a needy and a sinful people. We know, as He told us, that without Him we can do nothing. And we ask not only for ourselves, but for all Your scattered people in this world. We know, Lord, that there are so many things in this flesh that divide men, that make them to feel a difference and a superiority and an inferiority oftentimes, but we know that Your people have all that they have and are all that they are in Christ alone, through and by His glorious person and that work that He accomplished on the cross of Calvary. We stand in Him, and all depends on Him. And there is nothing that should assure us, nothing that should give us hope in anything that we have done, and only in His finished work alone. We do plead Christ as our solid and only rock, and look to Him for all things, all blessings that we receive in Him. We pray for these of our number that are sick. We ask that You would help them in all their trials and troubles of life. We pray and we give thanks for Your aid to Brother Richard and for others that have been sick and now enjoy Your healing. We thank You for Your great mercies that are new to us every day. And we rejoice and we praise Your name. And we know that we deserve none of them, but we are given them by Your grace in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray that You'd forgive us of our sins, many and great they are. We pray that You would help us, watch over us. We thank You for all of Your provision. We know that it comes from Your gracious hand alone. We pray for this world situation. Help us to see it with the eyes of our holy and heavenly Father. Cause us to trust in You and lean upon You and not our own understanding in this hour. We thank You and we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
In your hymnal, hymn number 279, Once for All.
Oh,
think that most preachers have the difficulty of knowing what to preach like I do. That's my constant struggle. I know who I'm going to preach, and I know what I'm going to preach in the broad sense, but I often struggle to know where to preach it from. And the verse that I want us to look at tonight came into my mind some time about 3 o'clock this morning, and I kept trying to go back to sleep, but it always kept coming back to my mind. So if this is not the place, I don't know where it is. But it's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And if you'll look with me and read with me tonight, we'll read verse 18. Paul writes, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." I know that this flesh, even the flesh of believers, is always looking for, always longing for ease, always wanting some type of something to satisfy us, always wanting some gratification of the flesh, always wanting some different, something different than the life you have. We're always wanting better times, different or better circumstances, always wanting different things, always wanting a better life. A better life. And Paul's words here as he closes out this letter, these words of exhortation in this verse, they're probably linked to the first verse before it and the one before that, verse 16 and 17. They're probably, most say, that there aren't really periods between these statements, but commas, so that it reads something like this: "Rejoice evermore, comma, pray without ceasing, comma, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." When he speaks these words and he says, "Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, give thanks," he speaks of it in the context of everything. In everything. That is, with all that life brings, the days and the years, whether it brings prosperity or adversity, whether our circumstances are hard or easy, whether we're afflicted or healthy, whether as poor or rich, whether being tempted or tried or persecuted, in everything, these are our comforts. As we live what the Bible calls the life of faith, as we live believing God, and as we live in everything knowing this great truth, it is the will of God. We live these things. We live this everything of life. We live it believing God and knowing that it is the will of God. The will of God. And this, my friends, is not fatalism. This is not at all anything close to fatalism. This is the life and the walk of faith. And somebody can ask us, as we live this life, as we seek in everything to do these things, to rejoice, to pray without ceasing, to give thanks. Someone may ask us, how do we know that it is the will of God? How do we know? How can we be so sure? How can we rejoice in these things? Why would we pray in these things? And surely, how can we give thanks knowing it is the will of God? Well, simply, there are many verses in this book that tell us in one way or another that which we have to know if we pray, if we rejoice, if we give thanks in everything, but none so much as this verse I'm about to read to you. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. When Paul speaks here of Christ and what we have in Christ, as he does in our verse, he says in verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." In other words, we know that what transpires in our lives, I'm not just talking about the world, surely in the world, because that comes under this umbrella, but the things that transpire in our lives, especially as the people of God, they do so because he works all things after the counsel of His own will. In other words, every will on this planet, there can be no other free will other than this one that we read about in verse 11. Because every other will is under the counsel and the will of Him who works everything after the counsel of His own will. And that is just a simple deduction that we can make, and yet it is everywhere in this book stated. If it happens, it is the will of God. And if it happens to God's people, assuredly we know that it is the will of God. And the reason to rejoice, the reason to pray, "Thy will be done," the reason to give thanks at all times and in all circumstances is that His will to His people is a will of grace. His will covers all men, all events, all things, all circumstances. But His will concerning those in Christ Jesus is a will of grace and mercy that includes all our life, all our days, all our circumstances, all our risings and our falls, everything that has to do with us as His people is a will of grace. Turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and listen to what he says beginning in verse 38. He says, "For I came down from heaven," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, who Paul says that we are to give thanks in everything because it is the will of God in Christ. All right, look at verse 38. "For I came down from heaven," he says, "not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." This is still that same will that we read about in Ephesians 1:11. "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." He's talking about that people, these elect ones that were chosen in Christ and given to Him in that everlasting covenant for which He came to save and to do the Father's will, and He will in them and of them lose nothing. "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." In other words, the will of God to His people is this saving will, is this securing will, is this blessing will throughout all of their days and before their days. So So Peter writes these words in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The will of God to His people is the will of God that is in Christ Jesus, and He cannot fail in any sin. And some things may seem adverse to their salvation. Some things may seem the opposite to God's character. Some things might transpire in their lives before they were converted or after their conversion that seem not to play into the whole. But they are the will of God. They are the will of God. You see, some things may seem adverse, but nothing is when it comes to God's elect, because they are eternally in Christ Jesus. The will of God for them is in Christ Jesus. They are all safe in Him. They are all given to Him. They are all saved by Him. And this is their comfort. This is their rejoicing, that all of the work of salvation depends on Him and not them. How could you rejoice tonight in a failure or a thing that you know to be sin, a thing in which you're so dissatisfied with yourself for having thought or done or said today? How could you ever feel like you are worthy, if you will, to pray, to bow your head and even pray to God in the light of your sin? How could you certainly ever give thanks for some of the things that have gone on in your life, for some of the trials or the troubles or whatever that you've had? Because God always views you in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's always the will of God in Christ Jesus. I heard a man on the news recently talking about some law that might be passed or some political decision that was made. I don't even remember what it was. But he used a term that I've heard before. He said there would be things that happened as a result of this law or this decision or something like that that involved the law of unintended consequences. The law of unintended consequences. And it came to my mind, as far as human beings are concerned, as far as fallen man is concerned, everything that we personally ever do or have ever done, it involves this so-called law of unintended consequences. It never produces what we intend for it to. It never does. But it always produces what God intended for it to do. Everything that is done, every event in your life, every circumstance that you might have been found in or are now found in it, everything that happens, no matter what the will of man is or was, whether you personally or somebody else, it's the will of God. And I thought of one instance of that. You remember Joseph, how his brothers, they hated him, how they lied to his father, how they cast him down in the pit, how they slew an animal and put blood all over his coat, lied to his father, how they sold him into slavery. You remember how Potiphar's wife betrayed him, accused him falsely? You remember how the man in prison with him failed to remember him as he promised? Well, when Joseph revealed himself to his brothers on that fateful day, this is what he said to them. "But as for you, ye thought evil against me. You intended to end me, be rid of me. Everything you did was against me. As for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." Everything in our lives, especially as God's people, everything, I say before, even before we were born, but let's say everything since the day we were born up to this day has been working toward our salvation. You say, "Well, I certainly don't see how this or that," or I'm telling you. I'm telling you. The most grievous act of sin, the most small lie, everything was the will of God concerning you. That's why Paul says in Romans 8, and we know. Why do we know this? We know it because God said it. We couldn't believe it. Well, number one, we couldn't know it unless God said it. Number two, we couldn't believe it in God unless God enabled us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. His purpose. And we know this is a fact most of all. And know it was true most of all when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop and think about His life. What Herod did, what Judas did, what all the disciples did, what everybody did to him and against him all his days. They did what they had not intended to do. But in that, God did what He intended to do. Peter says in Acts, they gathered together, every one of them, Pontius Pilate, the governor, the people, the Jews, the Gentiles, everyone gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Everything. We see it in the life and the death of Christ. The will of God. We see it in every event of history. The will of God. But here's the thing that I want you to take home tonight. It's not the general sense in which this is true. It is true. But here Paul gives it to us, not in general, but in particular. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's will concerns all of these things. But what is to be a special comfort and blessing and help and a reason for prayer and rejoicing and thanksgiving? In all these things, in everything, this is the will of God in Christ concerning you. Concerning me personally. Concerning you personally. That is, that everything that is going on in the life of God's people is for them the good life. You see, as sinners in this flesh, we're always looking for a better life. Easier circumstances. Less trials. Less persecution. Better health. Easier finances. Easier situations to deal with. But I'm telling you tonight, this is your life. This is your life. You remember that program? It was an old program on TV. They used to go back and gather all together this that happened to somebody and that that happened, these friends and these people. And gather them, bring them on that show, and it was called This Is Your Life. Well, my friends, whatever has happened in your life and whatever is going on tonight in your life as the Lord's people, and whatever will go on tomorrow in your life, that is your life. That ain't much of a life. It's your life according to the will of God. It's your life that He's given in great wisdom, infinite wisdom. It's your life as He's given you in great grace and mercy. It's His life, your life as He's given you because He loves you. It's your life. I tell you, how many of us can live in this life without having great regrets about something in our past that was a mistake, that was wrong, that involved others, that hurt us, that hurt others, that did thousands of things? How many of us can live presently in some of our trials that are going on? They feel like sometimes they crush us any minute, break our heart, try our patience, things that are going on right now in our life, things also that will come in future days that we're worried about, have anxiety about. This is your life. I don't know what it'll be for you. I don't know what it'll be for me. I often tell people, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I'd taken better care of myself. So many regrets, so many failures, so many sins to think back on and remember, so many failures in the present, and so many things that are fearful as I face old age and weakness and all this kind of stuff. Have done surgery on my eyes. Whatever comes, that's what God has ordained. It's the will of God. In Christ Jesus, never apart from Him, never apart from grace and mercy and all these things, but it's the will of God concerning you. That's not to excuse our sins. That's not to lessen our heartaches. But whatever has happened, whatever is going on right now, whatever will go on in future days, as long as we live, this is your life. And your life is like my life and everybody's life. It's according to the will of God, the counsel of God, the purpose of God. But if we're in Christ, He put us there, and our whole life is viewed by God in Christ Jesus as being saved and made righteous and standing before God in favor. Everything has worked together by His almighty, sovereign, overruling, overriding hand for our good and His glory. Everything. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I did. I don't care what you did. I'm glad you don't know what I've done. I'm glad you don't know what I've thought today. You see, the self-righteous find no comfort in this. But a sinner does. A sinner does. Because we know from the first day we breathe, and before that, we have been a sinner. We know we are in ourselves right now. We know that we'll fail tomorrow for sure. But He's going to keep us trusting in Him. But even when we don't trust in Him, when we fail, when we have fits of unbelief, we're not out of Christ. You say, I wish I'd done things different too. Well, in one sense, I do really wish I had. But that's God's wisdom and plan for my life. That's my life. So in everything, looking back, looking out, looking forward, I have reason for rejoicing. I have reason to pray. I certainly have reason to give thanks in everything. We don't know what we'll face tomorrow. But in it, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ concerning you, me. Everyone of God's people. Paul said, the life that I now live, I live by faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So, when he comes to write in Philippians 4, in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This is the will of God in Christ concerning you. This is your life. Some things we look at with favor. I have a feeling if we're honest, there are many more that we look at with disfavor. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. This is our life. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus. Our Father, this evening we pray. We know that things can make us weep that we remember. Things that can break our hearts that we presently might be experiencing. Things that we would in this flesh have done differently or wish they to be differently. But this is the life that you have ordained for us. You who do all things well and right and good for our eternal good and spiritual good and your glory. Help us to know that this is the will of God in Christ concerning us personally, individually, that you've ordered it, that each one is different according to your wisdom. There is no pattern in any other person for us. We just thank you that it's your will of grace to us in Christ. We ask your mercy upon us. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.